don't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you choose.
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Just when super coaches thought it couldn't get any tougher, it turns out Nathan Cleary was carrying a secret shoulder instability injury, which unfortunately for the Panthers, for Cleary and for all his owners, became completely unstable at the worst possible time. With trades at a premium, that will be the death knell for a lot of squads with none or one trade left. Cleary was not the only flyer to come ablaze over the weekend. We'll go through all the options for trades you have and the ones you don't tonight and talk about how to navigate the remainder of the Supercoach season with just 3 weeks to go. Speaking of instability, joining me tonight is coach of Tubes' Pods, Tubes. Tubes, welcome back to the Pod.
Yeah, cheers, Matt. Happy to be here. Happy, good weekend overall.
How'd you go?
I had a 502, took me up to ranked 147 overall.
502.
Yeah, we're talking about the Bundy mixer, aren't we? Oh, moving on. ranked 147 out of I don't know how many. Must be a fair few. So
I forgot that we've turned into a Bundy mixer pod.
Yeah. So
who got the job done for you there?
Captained Kelly from the Roosters, and she scored a double. God, I think she I don't know, she got 90-odd points, really got the job done. So yeah, it's good.
Oh, well done. Well done.
In Supercoach, not as good. I had a 1383, so probably about par, but no movement. I'm still ranked 2300, so need a couple of big rounds to bring it home to get back into that top 1,000 to finish off.
Oh, well, there's positive signs. You got any trades left?
Got one trade.
One
trade ready to go this weekend.
And a plan locked in for it?
I think we'll talk about it tonight. Like everyone, you think you got to trade Cleary, but there's some options.
Speaking of Supercoach players with one trade left, it's coach of the Casa Bonitas, 2014 third place overall finisher, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny, how are you feeling about that one trade in the bank?
Look, I'm feeling okay. I like my team. I just haven't been able to really crack the right players at the right time this year. But, yeah, generally okay. One trade, as Tube said, maybe not let Cleary go at this stage. Just wait for the final two rounds, a bit of carnage to come, and, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Just to deflect again, I'm becoming a bit more of a draft specialist now. Made the final for the inaugural Pod League Draft Series. So with Big Buzz, big fan of the show, on my heels, he's got the Podders this week who are in all sorts.
Yeah, that could be a one act affair. That preliminary final, no Bundy mixer for you, Dan.
Definitely not. I can't do it. I spend too much time on this already.
Fair enough. All right, let's get into the show. Let's start, as always, with the Pod overall prize, which is 2.5% share in a Mailbag Bloodstock racehorse. Shout out to the boys at Mailbag Bloodstock doing very good things, having a really hot run. Tubes, give us an update. It's been pretty tight between coach of the Dead Hand Gang, Quinn, and Just Fins Up, Justin. How did the boys go on the weekend, and who's the leader in the Pod overall group?
Quinn had an okay weekend with a 13-15, but that's coming off. He had an amazing week the week before. So he's 13th overall. He's sort of kicked in the league. He's 200 clear of Just Fins Up, the next closest. And we were saying just before the pod, Matt, I think you're trying to hunt him down to try and take that top prize and save the sponsors, the $500.
We spoke about this at the start of the year. If we win, I'm definitely getting that 2.5% share in the racehorse though.
Yeah, so you're 600 points off Quinton, and I think you've got four trades up your sleeve, so it could be some carnage, and you could be hunting him down to finish the year.
I do. I've got four left, but I feel like I need more. It's I can't imagine how you boys are feeling. I'm Samuel Afino is doing my head in, so I'm sure we'll get to that later on. But yeah,
have look, you got a boost?
600? Nah, no boost. 600 points is a lot to make up. So I don't think I'll be catching Quinton, but I'll be doing my best to just finish as high as possible. Reminder, you can get us on X at NRLSCPodPod. We haven't been the activity on X hasn't been too good, has it, boys? We need to lift probably a little bit, but a bit more content.
Oh, my algos are just going off. I'm too trumped on Twitter at the moment. Just Elon's been getting stuck in, so I haven't been spending as much time. Too much NFL and Trump going on the feed.
Yeah, fair enough. NFL season kicking off. A few drafts in there starting to float about. It's good times. Let's get into the guts of tonight's pod, starting with our positional analysis as always. Hooker, Dan. Connor Watson, HIA, cat one on the weekend for 10 points, really hurt my team. He is going to be out this weekend for their match. He should be back the week after for the final two rounds. He's relatively well owned now in the top sides. If you're in a position of Watson being your number one hooker and you've got a bit of a lower tier backup like a Hands or a Brayley or Joey Lussick even, do you think that you can – would you be looking to move one of those guys on and hold him Watson? Would that be the strategy?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the strategy. With Watson, he'll be vital in the last two rounds. The good thing about a head knock, if you're going to say there's a good thing, is that you know they're going to be fit in 2 weeks' time, so they're only going to miss the one game. It's not an injury that's up in the air. And I think he's going to be a definite play 80 minutes for those last two rounds as well. So I think you've got to hold him at all costs. If you've got one of those lowly guys sitting on the bench that you've got to replace him, I think the Cleary money will probably give people options to go up to another good hooker. But then, obviously, Matt, there's those guys who potentially are going to get rest in the back end, the likes of Harry Grant and co.
Yeah, I think if you can avoid making a trade hooker, like, do you think it's viable, Tubes, like, to run out a Brendan Hands or a Jaden Brayley this week in your 17 if they get named? Oh, sorry, Brayley will get named, but Brendan Hands, like, just for a week, then, like, do what Dan said and then just run Watson the last 2 weeks?
I think all discussions tonight are prefaced by how many trades, like, you've got left. Obviously, if you've got none, that's what you're doing. If you've got one, then you're not using your last trade on that. Like, you're happy to sort of run it. It really becomes a bit of a question if you've got two or more and what your other sort of issues are. It is a big upgrade. Like, if you can get a Little or a Harry or something like that for a Jaden Brayley, you're probably making 50 points this week. So it's just whether or not that's worth it.
I think definitely for Hands, you could do that. Brayley's had 80 minutes the last few rounds. I think he'll be probably likely in for a 45 to 60 point, and that's more than fine. So I'd hold Brayley, play him. Hands or Lussig, I said before, I don't know why you'd still have them, but, yeah, maybe look to upgrade if you've got some cash and trades. Otherwise, you just got to run it for 1 week.
If you are wanting one of those premium options, Dan, who do you like out of – I think the options on the table are probably Damien Cook, Jacob Little, Harry, who might get a rest, but Watson will probably be back if Harry does get a rest. And then you're sort of looking at your Jaden Brayley's, like you said there, just to kind of come in and do a job. Or Jeremy Marshall King, if he's somehow back. I saw in the early mail he's floating about that he could be back this week.
I always like Harry. I think Harry in two rounds can beat a lot of those guys in three. So if my team's strong, I'd go for Harry for sure. JMK will be a good pod to have because no one will have him. So if he's named this week, he's probably the easy pickup. But Harry for me if he's not back.
Yeah, Cookie's got a tough run. Jacob Little Tubes has been unbelievably consistent the back half of the season. I think he'd probably be my pick for some surety. Cookie for vibes, but they've got Panthers and Roosters last 2 weeks. Who would you be going?
Harry, for sure. Just okay. Lock it in.
All right, Harry Grant by unanimous decision, if you have to make an upgrade there. Moving down to front row forward, and my God, there are just no good front row forward buyers. Tarpany, who most people have brought in, only could manage in the 40s on the weekend. The Warriors boys, Fanua Blake's been fantastic, heavily owned, obviously. They get the bye in round 27, Mitch Barnett. For those who are running AFB, you can't really run both of them. And then you've got no one. Samuel Fainu dropped a 25 on the weekend for owners like myself who are running him at front row forward too. Tubes, the question is that okay to keep running Fainu at front row two? He's been relatively consistent in that sort of 45 to 55 average for most of the season. Do you think that's something we'll see a return to this week and beyond? And is it worthwhile potentially looking at an upgrade to someone like an AFB, even if it's only for those 2 weeks?
I keep flip-flopping, like, for your scenario, like, obviously low trades, definitely not. If you had four like you do, I'm now back in the camp of you just got to take what you can get. Take your medicine at front row forward. Like, he had 112 2 weeks ago. So you just take the good with the bad and just hope that you get a couple of good weeks in the last 2 weeks. Like, there's
pray for some variance. Yeah.
Like, you sort of, I get, like, it's likely that he averages 45 the next two rounds, but they do play the Eels and Manly. Like, there's every chance that he averages 60, like, and I that 25 is a big outlier in his scores. I can't see him backing up and getting another 25. The last time he got below 40 was back in round 17, and that was a 39. So, like, I feel like I'd just be holding and just hoping for a bit of upside.
It is luxury. There's no doubt. Just with trades so low, I'm a bit worried that 25. Like, did he have an injury? He got 24 points in tackles, minus nine missed tackles. He just didn't have any runs at all. He had six runs for the whole match, which is.
Was he coming up against Kola Matangi, like, who's just in best?
Yeah, he
mode.
Was.
Like,
he was.
Just they just it was like a plan. Oh, don't run at Kola Matangi, like.
Well, that they're really going after that side. Like, teams are really targeting the Galvin, Fainu. Who else is on that side? Who's the center? Not Fatape. Who's their other center? Someone crap anyway. And then Luke Lawley. Dewey's out there, and not Lawley. The other crap. I can't even remember all these bloody crap players. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're targeting that edge. The Knights did it the week before when Crossland scored four tries. Fletcher Sharp scored four tries. So teams are really gunning for that edge. I don't know. I'm also worried. I'm just, hopefully he's not injured. I don't think he is. Adding to my worries though there, Dan, is Sam Hughes AE. I know this is not a cancelling session for my team, but I'm going to have to play Sam Hughes because Fainu's out. And I'm sure a lot of teams are kind of in that situation where they're going to have to play a third string front rower behind Fainu. That's really, I think if I didn't have to do that, I'd be fine to carry Fainu, but having to play Sam Hughes really doesn't sit well with me.
No. I think in your situation, AFB is on the offer. Like, two rounds of him plus Fainu at the end when they've got the bye. Like, I think that could potentially be a lot of points. That could be like 80 to 150 plus points rather than playing Sam Hughes or Fainu for two if he's having a bit of a lonely time. So I think you've got to go for AFB in your situation. I think you just got to go for the top two, solidify that. If you had one trade left, no, you got to run Fainu, but I think you're okay in your position.
Any other front row headaches to talk about? Xavier Willison's one who's kind of interesting, Dan, for those like with a few trades up their sleeve.
Yeah, I think you probably missed him. He went up again in his last game, and I think he got a try as well, did quite well. The week when all the front rowers seemed to be scoring tries. I think he's probably one for next year now, but I've really liked the look of Lindsay Smith late. He played 80 on the weekend and got some attack as well, but he's getting some decent minutes. Next year, JWH will be gone, I think. So
JFH.
So he will look good for next year. But at 550K, you could potentially take a flyer on him. Yo's probably going to get a rest in the last bit, so he'll get some minutes. He'd be one I'd have a look at. But otherwise, yeah, just there's nothing else.
All right, let's move on down to 2RF now. And I'll stick with you here, Dan. There's no one really to talk about specifically. I think most people have made their beds at 2RF. There are a few bargains on the table, though, if you have missed one or two of them and kind of just want to shore up that back row.
Yeah, it's take your pick. See, I think most of the absolute weapons are at 650K. So it's really just, you know, solidify that. I think probably the issue is I don't think you need more than four. So I wouldn't be going a fifth premium gun at second row forward. If you've got four, just that's enough. That's plenty. People like myself, maybe Tubes in the same situation, like Nikora is the fifth guy and you're not sure if you want to play him most weeks, but he's a very good player. So I think four's enough. Probably get more depth at center wing. That's where I'd be looking to get the fifth player, sixth player.
Yeah, I've got KPP as my fifth one, but I think it's not really the place to pot up. I don't think the opportunities are
KPP
really there.
KPP will outscore Nikora for the run home.
You reckon?
Yeah, he's got white line fever now. but they have got a nice run, the Knights, and I'll back them in for more points. Nikora just, I mean, I know he scored on the weekend, and then when they put 44 the week before, he did well. I really just feel like we've got away with two in a row with Nikora, with no Nico, no Trindle. I certainly don't want to be playing him the next few weeks.
A sneaky little shout out for Cam Murray. He's played 80 for 4 weeks in a row and five out of six. He's got a two-round average of 92. He's maybe one. They've got a pretty hard run in Souths, but he got 98 with no attack on what we had one line break on the weekend. So he's really getting through his work now. But as you said, Dan, like all these other options are the same price roughly. So it's a pretty hard one. I still don't think I'd have him ahead of Crichton, Olakuatu, Eli Kato, or maybe Eli Kato because he's had that injury, but yeah, or Fifi. Fifi looks a bit off the pace to me.
Yeah, like if you didn't have Fifi or Murray and that was the choice, I think Murray's probably the option there. I think they've got their grand final with the Roosters last round. You know he's gonna turn up for that. So obviously it just depends if Roosters turn up and absolutely smash him, but I think he'll still get a lot of work. So, yeah, probably the pod of second row would be Murray for sure.
It doesn't matter because it's not a real scenario. Most people have Fifita, but there's no way you'd pick Murray over Fifita. Like, even Fifita's off the pace. Like, he's averaging 80 and he still scored 77 on the weekend. Like,
with no attack.
Yeah. Like you're getting Fifita like every day of the week.
If you don't have Fifita, you're not in the top 10,000. So you've got to do something.
I love the stats. I was just thinking about it while you guys were talking. Like, I'd just like to know like how many of the top 1%, like what the percentage of trades people have. Like because we're going through this, and I'm going, everyone's just skipping ahead because no one has more than one or two trades. Like it's not I'm sure some do, but it'll be a very low percentage, I think.
Well, let's get. That's a good segue, Choose. Let's get to the position that everyone is looking for a trade at if they've got any left, and that's halfback with Nathan Cleary going down. Dan, before we talk here, just say you do have one trade left or maybe two. I want to talk about that option about waiting a week and not necessarily trading for Cleary, because I think that is probably the right option if you do have a gunnish second halfback like a Sammy Walker or a Jerome Hughes. Is it probably just worth, if you've got a good 17th player this week who's sort of in to get that sort of 60 points, is it worth just holding your lollies until you get a bit more of a prevailing view of what's going on at halfback with resting, with understanding who's going to rest and who isn't in round for round 26 next week.
Yeah, I think for the super coaches out there who are in contention or want to keep their rank high, I think probably the safest play, and it's pretty easy play as well, is just to hold Cleary. Look at what's going to happen the last two rounds. It's quite easy to do that if you've only got one or two trades left remaining. So, yeah, it's a pretty simple, it's quite easy, quite conservative to do that.
Looking at the options, Tubes, so it's quite exciting because there's no clear and obvious option. What before we get into the specific names, what is going to be your sort of consideration matrix, our decision-making framework? What's going to really influence you in how you go about thinking about I know you're not actually trading Cleary because you've only got one trade and it's not going to be him. But how would you be considering that halfback trade for Cleary, and what would be important to you?
I think it just depends what you think. For me, I think I'd be looking for what's the most sort of pod option and like what has the most upside over the next few weeks. And as you were saying before, I think that the three main options this week is Luai, Sam Walker, and DCE. I don't mind the option of Luai given how well he's performed when Cleary's been out of the team this season and just how good he's looked. But I do think he's a big chance of a rest on the run home. Sam Walker, I don't like. I think he's a great option, but he'd go down the order just because I think he's going to be so highly owned, and he is. And then DCE is probably a big pod move, but with the Tigers this week. But then you have to hold him against the Bulldogs and whatnot for the next couple of weeks. Again, the Sharks, the final round in probably a top four spot. So I think if I was trading Cleary, I'd be either going someone like Luai this week, or I'd be holding and hoping for the higher variance play that Hines is back, assuming he's not back this week, next week, assuming the rest of your 17 is strong. I'm in the position, yeah, where so, I'm not so, doing so, any of that.
Yeah, so are you saying there if Hines was back this week, he would go straight to number one?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Hines is one. I'm assuming he's not back, but if he was back this week, you'd just get him. Like, he's the best player. He's the best half. Like, doesn't matter his run. He's going to touch the ball the most and he'll score the most points over the next three rounds.
So Sharks have Dragons this week, and we know how much Nico loves playing against the Dragons. Then do they finish with the Warriors at home and Manly away? So some nice fixtures for Nico. I tend to agree that Nico is the best option. And I think people will have forgotten how good he is at Supercoach after he had a bit of a mild run of form in the lead-up to getting injured. Dan, the things I'll be considering are a chance for getting a rest, number one, even though I do think that if your squad's strong, you can overcome that. Like, it's not the end of the world if someone is going to get a rest. Like, that's not going to completely stop me from getting someone. And the other thing is the draw. So who are the teams playing? I think very clearly on draw, on a one-week option, Cherry's got the best game this week against the Tigers. But on a rest of the season draw, Luai and Sam Walker are by far and away the best three-game options for the guys who are playing this week.
Yeah, for me in that scenario, I think draw is the most important now with only three rounds to go. You don't need to worry too much about average. You're not picking guys to go up against a tough matchup, particularly halfbacks, and get a 50 for you. Like, you're probably not even playing them in that scenario. So I think matchups is the big one. So the big thing for Cherry is they play Tigers this week. You could just go all in. Someone in your scenario who has four trades, there is the option if you don't have someone else at 5'8" that you could switch around. Like, you could get Cherry this week and then flip him for a Hines in the following weeks or the last round just for that. So, yeah, I think draw is probably the most important thing to look at there.
I don't think that's worth it. Like, I think if I thought Cherry was the best option, for the 3 weeks, and I would do that. But like, I couldn't confidently say that Cherry's definitely going to outscore Sam Walker or Jerome Luai this week. And then given that those two final games, which are much easier, I'm not saying that. I think Cherry's a great option, by the way. But yeah, I don't. Even if I hadn't like even more trades, like I wouldn't be looking at flipping Cherry for a 1 week buy. I feel like I can use my trades in a more meaningful way than that. Luai, like Tube said, he averaged 98 while playing halfback when Cleary was out. Really strong. He's running the team in a way that he hasn't before. They're playing the Raiders into Souths. Raiders away, for which they're currently 14-point favourites, which is obviously very big favourites. They're in to score about 6 tries this weekend, which just means that the expectation is that they'll score 6 tries. It could be more, could be less, but that's what they're in for, which is quite high. Then they finish with Souths and the Titans at home. Just incredible fixtures from a Supercoach perspective. I think he could get a rest. That's the only thing. They do have some depth in the halves. Luai's had a pretty big year with Origin, and he has carried a couple little niggles along the way. Look, I couldn't put anyone off buying Luai. I think there is a chance he gets a rest, but I'd rather back in the draw there. And then if he does get a rest, I can play my backup halfback, which will probably be Dylan Brown at this stage. And then obviously Nico on the menu too, Dan.
Yeah, the good thing about Luai is he's got the 5-8 flip as well. So he's got that with Dylan Brown. So you can drop Dylan Brown out of your 17 if you need to. You're definitely playing Luai if he's playing the last 3 rounds, all 3. If I had none of them, so Walker, I think they're the only options, as you said, Walker, Luai, and Cherry, and I'd do it in that order. I'd do Walker is probably the number one to get, then Luai, then Cherry. That would be my draw.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I take Tubes' point around the ownership, which Sammy Walker's quite highly owned. But I do think that on a points expectation, he's in for the most, just given he's got such a safe floor as well. Like, they're going to score so many points the next 3 weeks with the goal kicking. He's probably going to kick 5 or 6 goals every week. So there's 20 to 25 points straight off the bat. You know, and he's shown that he's getting those attacking stats. He had a bit of a down week on the weekend. I think he scored in the low 50s, but yeah, I tend to agree. I think he's the number one seed. He is also, though, I think, along with Luai, still likely to get a rest, probably around 27, if they've sewn up third or fourth spot, if they can't move out of the third or fourth spots, if Penrith have locked up top two. They might give Walker a rest. Just he's had a big year as well. Hasn't really had a week off. Tubes, just on a couple of other options who are a bit sort of lower ranked in our eyes. Jerome Hughes, obviously a pretty big rest candidate and probably hasn't looked quite as strong since Munster's come back in the team. And Matty Burton, again, that safe floor. He's pretty very consistent. Probably just not quite the upside that you're looking for, like you get with a Walker or Luai.
Don't bring them in. Dylan Brown is like, you're sort of talking as if he's the backup half as well. Like, I wouldn't bring him in, but like he's like you're playing him the last 2 weeks most likely. Have you? They play
Dragons,
Broncos this week, so not a bad matchup. Dragons, yep. Then Tigers last round of the year.
Yeah, I think so. It's okay if someone gets a rest.
He's in your 17, yeah. I think he's probably in your 17 in that with those matchups.
Depends on your 17, really. I mean, maybe if you're not carrying Turbo, Teddy, those guys, but
two fullbacks that everyone plays their two fullbacks, Dan. So that's
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the people who are very, very strong elsewhere probably can afford to rest Dylan Brown out of their 17. So
yeah. Yeah, but it has nothing to do with fullbacks. But yeah, I'm like, you're just trying to drop in that you own Teddy and Turbo, and that
more than you don't own those two. So yeah, Dylan Brown is definitely looking good for in your 17.
Dylan Brown will outscore Turbo the last 3 rounds. I'll put it up. I'm going to enjoy it. Turbo's lucky to get through the last 3 rounds.
You're going to put something on the line there for that one, Tubes?
Yeah, I'll put up a stake bet. I haven't lost a stake bet yet.
How many stakes do I owe you, Tubes?
I don't know, but I'll transfer one to Dan if Turbo when Turbo goes 100-100.
You can take us both out for a nice.
I do think Dylan Brown averages 70-plus the last three, but Turbo, yeah, I'll put it on the line. But, I'm just probably just saying I wouldn't be bringing in a Burton or a Hughes or anyone like that because you can play a Dylan Brown. You've got to go for the high upside plays like a Lupe or a DCE, even if they have a rest.
Yeah. For Dylan Brown being out of the 17, I watched the Para game on the weekend. Arcee is doing a lot of the fifth tackle kicking options.
Yeah.
And Dylan Brown is, I love him. I think he's, you know, top 2 5/8 in the comp. Like in a good side, he's absolutely kills it. Like he's so good, but he just has absolute like crap around him. Outside him, it's just really hard. Like I can't see him doing any as much as you'd want him to do with the people around him.
I'll be shocked if he's not the number one owned 5/8 to start next year. He'll be at a nice price.
So it's nothing against Dylan Brown. I think he's a gun. I just think you could probably drop him out of your 17 the last few rounds.
With so many duels at halfback this year, like, you know, we've talked about Luai and Burton and Dillbags, Cody Walker, obviously, who's out with a HIA this week, Cat 1 HIA as well. I think there's obviously an option as well to bring in a 5/8 to replace Cleary. I don't think they're quite as strong, but you are looking at the likes of Cam Munster, who probably won't get – or he could get a rest as well. I know you own him, Tubes. But Lockie Galvin is on a really, really hot run as well. He got another 90 or so on the weekend. He probably doesn't have the upside, Tubes, but that's a bit of a – that he's you can't tell me he's not a – he's a complete non-runner.
He's a complete non-runner. There's no way you're trading Galvin in for Cleary. They play the Sea Eagles this week, which is probably
They got a bye.
They've got a bye next week.
So, I forgot.
Non-runner.
Just I know, like you, just get the AI to edit that bit out, Tubes, if you don't mind.
Maybe the only scenario is you hold the trades and Galvin might be a trade-in last round against the Eels, if you need it. It's probably the only way you're getting Galvin.
He just doesn't have the ceiling, I don't think.
He looks incredible, though. Like, I think he'll be the top two 5/8s for Supercoach going forward for the next couple of years.
Interesting. Munster Tubes, you wouldn't be bringing him in again, would you?
Nah, I wouldn't. I don't think he'll get rest. I mean, that's probably me being hopeful. He doesn't look fully match fit yet. Like, some nice signs on the weekend. It looks like he's sort of trying to run a fair bit more, but I'd be surprised if he had a rest. But I certainly wouldn't be risking to bring him in with all the other half options that we talked about.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the second. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
All right, let's move on to centre wing now. There's a bit going on at centre wing. All the big options had big, big scores on the weekend. I'm talking Valentine Holmes, Jacob Carraz, Zach Lomax, Dom Young, all went 95-plus, most of them into the hundreds. Joey Manu scored really well, 81 on his return. Big Bad Brian. How'd Big Bad Brian go, Tubes?
Not well. 32, which is not good as a pod option at all. Yeah.
What happened?
Big letdown. We just he had McLean inside him and Maverick Geyer, which is just absolutely
disaster,
yeah. So it was a frustrating watch. Just never touched the ball. I'm happy to have To'o because he's a pod, but after watching that game on the weekend, I wouldn't be bringing him in just with that lack of ball that he had coming to him. I don't know if there'll be some more switches around. Like he ended up switching to the left last week with
Laurie on the wing.
And Laurie on the wing. Depends. Does Laurie get named at 5'8"?
I've heard Laurie came out. I heard Laurie came out in an interview and said that he's going to be on the wing again.
Yeah. Okay. So, either way, Big Bad Brian, it wasn't a great showing, and if Maverick Guy is in the team again, definitely wouldn't advise anyone to bring him in.
The question I've got at center wing, and I think there will be people looking to trade there. If you don't have all of these players, so Young, Lomax, Karaz, Valholm's on the bye this week, so he's a bit of a we'll talk about him separately. Are all those three, like, if you are purchasing center wing, are they the top three seeds, Dan?
I think Marnie
take them on.
I think you could probably take them on. I think you need Lomax, Karaz, definitely. I think you can take Young on, but you probably want to take Young on with another rooster. It's I was saying before, it's tough to watch. I want the ball going left with Tupu, but I think Joey Marner, you could take Dom Young on. I think he could definitely match, if not outscore. The thing I'd probably say is, like, can you trade out Val Holmes this week at 830K? He plays the Bulldogs and then the Storm the last two rounds. Storm might rest, obviously.
By this week.
So they've only got two rounds left. They've got two tough matchups defensively. If you flip him to the likes of a Lomax or a Toto, frees up a fair bit of cash, you could nearly do two gun center wings coming in for Val Holmes out. So I think that's certainly an option people are looking at with two trades left.
I think that's only an option if you need that to fund trades. Val's got a bye and then two hardish games. But, Tubes, this is an opportune time to bring up the fact that Chad Townsend was dropped from the Cowboys, and that seemed to unlock the team entirely with superstar Jake Clifford taking the reins along with Drinky. They looked a lot better without Chad.
Competent first grade halfback Jake Clifford.
Yeah, exactly.
Looked like a superstar with Drinkwater in the spine with him. And I mean,
got a bit just Tubes on that. Just who had multiple choice question for you? Who had the worst night watching that game on Saturday night? A, Chad Townsend. B, Ricky Stewart. C, Trent Robinson.
Why Ricky Stewart? What's the?
Because they got beat 42-4.
Raiders season's over. Look, it was just definitely the Chad. I think Robinson knew what he was buying. I can't imagine they've paid him much money.
I reckon you'd be surprised.
Anyway, so I don't know, but the Cowboys, I think, did look very good. I do like the fact they've dropped the Chad, and I think Val isn't actually a sell. I think everyone owns him already, but you said top three before. I think Garrick would be a top three just with their run, playing the Tigers this weekend.
Yeah, everyone owns him.
Yeah.
The others, not everyone owns. Like, the others are all sort of in that 70% ownership range, 60 to 70% ownership range. Lomax is even lower. Lomax is semi-pod, whereas Garrick's 95% owned in the top-ranked teams. Just to round out the Chad discussion, I honestly – I'm not saying they're going to win the comp, the Cowboys, but they are a serious, serious team with Chad out of that team. Like, they are so much better for him not being in the team. I think they can go on a bit of a run from here on in, and I'm not dropping Val. Absolutely no chance, even with trades. I think he can score well. He's going for the top point scorer as well, which I'm not saying that's going to be his main goal, but I don't think it hurts him versus Sarko. If I was having to sell anyone at center wing, it would probably be a Sarko or – I don't know. Like, look, don't get me wrong. If that trade helps you with money and frees up so that you can make two unbelievable trades after that, then go for it. But yeah, I think keeping Val is probably the way to go.
Honestly, though, since we're talking about the Cowboys, there's something wrong with Todd Payton. like taken Drinky off with 20 to go when he's captain of my team and he's on 98 super coach points. Like, I get resting players, but I don't think I've ever been angrier when Drinkwater came off with 20 minutes left. Like, they didn't score another point. Jackson Purdue doesn't look up to first grade.
Oh, yes, he does. He looks good.
Doesn't look up to the level of Drinkwater at fullback. It was just ridiculous. But I also think that he has finally clued on. He was the slowest man in North Queensland to realize to drop Townsend. And then I think just as luck as have it, he's now finally been forced into playing Thomas McKayley, who is like the first.
He looks good, hey?
He's the first front row forward in the Cowboys pack all year to actually bend the line back a bit more than.
Yeah.
I mean, Cotter's been good, but like that hard running front rower. So I think they're back. The
big body, big body. Cotter's obviously not real big. Cotter, you know, Cotter runs the most decoys in the comp. That's how hard he's working. Dan?
Yeah. Love a bit of Cotter. I think just from a medical perspective, Tubes, I think that 20 minutes will do really good, seeing as though seeing as though Drinky's got 2 weeks off now. I think that just that extra 20
make a big really difference in the long run. Upgraded to 102. I reckon he was in for 150 the way he was playing.
Or one more attack stat and he's 130 plus in that last 20 and he would have got it.
And it was especially good after watching Turbo not get rested when they were up by 20 with 10 to go as well. Drinky's played every game of the last 2 seasons. Turbo's played half of them, but odds are on that you're going to rest Drinkwater for 20 minutes this weekend.
Maybe that's why he's played every game. You know, Peyton's just can read the signals. He's just done well, so
yeah.
very, very unlucky there.
Before I use that Drinky chat to segue down to fullback, Dan, I just want to get your power rankings on center wing to end the year again, like we did a few weeks ago.
Hmm. I mean, it was only a couple of weeks ago. I think we had Karaz, Lomax, Holmes, Garrick were the top four. I think they're probably still the top four. The issue
Holmes has probably got to drop a little bit, just given he's got a bye this week now.
Yeah,
I'd rather own Manu than Holmes right now. I'm not trading yes. for Manu, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think probably Manu showed a lot on the weekend. He's just so dangerous. Dom Young is just he puts it on a platter. Manu puts it on a platter for Dom Young. So yeah, Manu might sneak into that, but the other thing to look at for the center wings, the guys who are now in cruise mode. So I think To'o really goes down the ranks because of that. They're pretty much guaranteed that top two spot. He's probably going to rest. I think you're looking at Lomax is not going. He's going to be pushing hard, and
Karaz
and
pushing
Garrick
hard.
Is pushing hard as well. So yeah, those three are probably my top: Karaz, Lomax, and Garrick.
I'd probably still have. Providing he doesn't get a rest, which he might, I think Dom Young is you don't own him, but I would suggest he's the scariest not to own, like with that ceiling and what the Roosters can do.
I'm trying to play Dom Young.
Trying to manifest it into.
He just needs a tough opposition. He can get rattled. Like he looked rattled early on in that game, and then he just gets a couple of walkover tries and he's back.
Yeah. When they rest Teddy, in round 27 against the Bunnies and Manu's at fullback, it'll be less scary for Dom Young.
I can't wait to buy Manu in round 27 at fullback. That's my dream scenario. He's this year's Cooler Tubes to your chat the other week.
Mm.
So we'll see how that goes. Maybe Cooler is this year's Cooler. If
he's not.
All right, let's move on to fullback then. Obviously, not a ton doing at fullback, except for those who own Drinkwater Tubes like yourself and probably Reece Walsh as well. This is really the week that you want to be setting in your fullbacks, I think, for the end of the year. A lot of people own a combo of Teddy, Ponga and Turbo, and a lot will be moving onto that combo this week. Tubes, who are you looking to make your final trade to from Drinky this weekend?
I'm keeping Drinky.
All right.
I had Walsh. I'm bringing in Ponga with my final fullback trade. I'm going to keep Drinky for the last two rounds. Ponga versus the Bunnies this weekend. It's too good of a matchup for me, and I just am backing him in as the pod option versus Turbo and Teddy. I suppose still with the hope that there's some chance that Teddy gets rests in the last round and Turbo might be rested at some point this weekend when they're up by 40 against the Tigers.
Yeah, I like that, Tubes. Like I'm a Turbo and Ponga owner. I sold to Teddy. Obviously it cost me 50 points on the weekend, but I made that up and more the week before. I think that there's nothing between Teddy, Ponga and Turbo. Like you mentioned, the risk that Teddy gets a rest, I think he's the only one that gets a rest.
Yeah.
Possibly Turbo around 27 if they can't make top four, but I think at the very worst there, they're playing for a home final in fifth or sixth, so I'd be very shocked if Turbo got a run. So I'd probably just have Teddy slightly below. In saying that, Teddy has the best draw out of those three. Knights do have a very good draw as well, but the Roosters' attacking firepower is just unmatched with those other two teams. Dan, pod option could be Dylan Edwards with he's 838K, I think. He averaged over 100 with Cleary out of the team. Is he someone who, if you were looking to make a trade at fullback, is he someone who you would consider to take on those big boys?
No, I don't like it at all. I think he's obviously coming back from injury as well. Like, why risk it? Why would Cleary risk it? He's got so many options to just sub him out as well. You know, Dane Laurie can go straight there. He's unbelievable. I got a few young guns that are there. Like, I just really think it could cost you big time if you're going flipping and fullback to Dylan Edwards. The one I probably look at as the ultra pod option if he's back this week would be Reece Walsh. So they do play Storm in the final round, but there's potential chance there's a few restings for the Storm if they've secured top two. They've got Para into Dolphins, which I think is very, very juicy. So could definitely be an option if you want to go ultra pod.
I can't have that at all.
No.
I can't see you in the same stratosphere as Ponga, Turbo and Teddy. I think that would have to get so lucky for him to outscore any of them. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying it's a huge punt.
The chat is he could be back this week.
Yeah.
If he was back this week against the Eels, then maybe you could think about it.
You might hold him rather than trade him in if you own him.
It's just, but like, in theoretically, they can still make the finals. But if when they lose this week, or if they lose in the next couple of games, surely he's not playing round 27 just coming back off a broken hand. Like when there's nothing to actually play for. Like, why would they do that with the guy they're about to pay $1 million?
Yeah, I don't
look. You give me questions after you talk about the only options, expecting me to throw something out.
And I asked you about Dylan Edwards, and you came back at me with Reece Walsh. Well,
Dylan Edwards is an option, I think. Edwards is an option.
Well, he is, and we discussed that.
I think he gets a rest. I don't think he's an option.
No, but somehow, if you don't, like, it's just really straightforward at this time of year. Like, Ponga, Teddy, Turbo.
Yeah.
Like, I don't agree. I can't afford Edwards. I think I would go Edwards over Ponga if I could afford him.
Oh, wow.
With Cleary out. He's kicking goals last three games. He averages over 100. He averages over 100 without Cleary in the team. He gets more touches. He's literally the best fullback in the game without Cleary in his team. I would be getting him if I didn't have Ponga for the run home for the last.
Can you afford it? If you don't, who are you trading to? Who are you trading to Ponga? Dylan Lucas via Jules.
Yeah.
Is there anyone you could trade at the center wing to get it? I want to make this happen. I want to get this Edwards trade going.
I could do Val Holmes to Edwards, but that doesn't feel worth it.
That doesn't make sense. No.
If I could afford doing upgrading my 17 like I'm doing, I would do it. I actually think Edwards v Turbo v Ponga v Teddy, it's not worth a stake bet, but I do think he's in that echelon, like as in I wouldn't be shocked if he outscored him for the
run. I forgot about the goal kicking.
That definitely helps. His injury risk, and I think his massive rest risk as well. Mm. No
he's
way.
He's just had rest. 4 weeks off. Surely.
Yeah, but if it's yeah, but if he's got a sore
yeah,
knee.
He might have come back a bit early, but like, you know.
He's a machine. Just work him.
All right, boys, captains this week. A real bit of a cat amongst the pigeons for Turbo owners, Manly first game. Who are you looking at, Tubes, for vice captain and captain this week?
I'm struggling. I think for me the most obvious is I'll be captaining Ponga against the Bunnies on Saturday night. So I'll probably VC Garrick, even though I don't want to watch that game and watch Turbo.
I cannot get enough on you captaining Ponga. You love a bringing in captain. That's your modus operandi.
Yeah, but he's probably the best option for me.
He is for sure.
Yeah.
He is for sure. Dan, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very scared of not owning Ponga this week. Like, it's just such a good captaincy option. However, you got Turbo against Manly on Friday night. Tigers. That's a huge option. You could probably straight C, but it's most likely at this time of year you can VC and be okay with that. The other option, my captain's the really tough one, probably Sammy Walker or Lomax on Sunday. Probably my other options.
Your AEs are pretty good now, aren't they, Dan? Like, because your squad's pretty good. Like,
very
what
good.
Is,
yeah.
What does Turbo need to get for you to take the VC? 110.
120.
I mean, so you probably don't even need to worry about who your captain's going to be, realistically. It's just a good insurance policy if he gets injured.
Yeah, it's probably – Finu is probably my worst, so it'd be nice if he was – if he gets a decent score that night, and you'll know pretty quickly. So, yeah, I don't see – if you've got an A issue, not a nightmare,
like
an issue
Sam
like,
Hughes.
Like a Sammy Hughes, I think you could straight see Turbo for sure.
If Turbo plays 80 minutes, there can't be a world where he doesn't get 120 plus on the weekend against the Tigers. Like, it's just, I mean, unless he was rested or he gets injured, like, I just can't see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you're right. But, I mean, he's about in for the same amount of points as he was against the Warriors on the weekend.
You reckon?
They're the same price. It is at Leichhardt Oval. Like, if this was at Brookie, yeah. But Manly are not the same side away from Brookie. And the Tigers off a win, they could get up for it. I think it's important to use the VC where you can this time of year. Like, it's just so vital to get those two 100%. Cracks at it. Like, so I think I'll be VCing Turbo.
Yeah.
Especially someone like a Turbo. Like, he's so injury prone and. And like you say, HIAs just takes one little knock to go off for a HIA at a minimum, and then obviously could be ruled out for a week as well. So, for the rest of the match. There's no obvious. I'm struggling for an obvious C captain though. For an obvious C after that. I'm probably looking at like maybe a Karaz.
That's a good thing. Probably the good thing about Cleary going down is you don't have that. So it's C in the halves now, so you can VC and C. But really it only becomes the definite VCC options are all fullbacks. It's really going to create some pod captaincies, particularly if the likes of Turbo have a very quiet Thursday night.
Yeah.
Like people are going to
– I like it.
Yeah, it's good. Just a bit of variance.
Like Dom Young is an obvious one as well, but I really struggle to have a C on Dom Young. Like – he's got the hamstring issue. We know he's got a floor, a lowish floor. It's an incredible fixture, don't get me wrong. I feel like if you're going to captain a winger, you want him to have a very, very solid base. Like we saw that with Greg Marju a few weeks ago as well against the Tigers.
It's interesting actually talking about this, Matt. if say Turbo went quiet, would it sway your thinking to put, like Dan said before, I think Sam Walker's probably the most obvious captaincy option this week outside of the fullbacks.
Or Luai.
So I wonder if that sways your decision as to what halfback you bring in and then probably captain them.
It might.
If you're not looping.
That's a good point. Sam Walker, captain, is not a bad shout, to be honest, or even Luai. But Carraz is not a bad one either. It's not a great fixture, but I wonder if the Wires might get up for SJ's game. But, I wouldn't really be looking at any of the back rowers, Crichton, Katoa, Fifita, Olakau'atu. They're not really options. So, yeah, you're looking sort of in the halves or maybe you take a flyer on a center wing. Dom Young's the upside one. I think Dom Young's got by far the biggest ceiling this weekend from the players that aren't fullbacks. I don't mind your Garrick shout tubes for VC.
For non-turbo owners, yeah.
For non-turbo owners,
just,
yeah.
Just a bit of a selfish question, Matty. What side is the side to attack against South Sydney? Is it their South's right edge?
So they're going to have Kennar out. So they're going to have someone new in at centre on the right edge. Tane Milne plays left edge with Fletcher Myers and Jackie Boy White inside them. On the right, they're going to have who's that halfback tubes that comes in? Hawkins will probably come in. I think he's back.
Oh, is he?
With they can't. Old mate Chupa Tiaupa, he's out.
Jagai on the wing still.
Yeah, and Jagai. I mean, they're attacking both sides. They're both. that's a Kuala Matangi side, though.
I went all in 2 weeks back with Marju captain. It didn't work out so well against the Tigers. They just went the other way so much. But I think he's definitely an option if they're attacking down.
Not
that
to
edge.
Captain. Not to captain. He doesn't like. You reckon?
Do you reckon, talking through this now, you don't own Teddy, but I still think you VC Turbo, but there's the world where people VC Garrick and see Teddy, isn't there? Yep. Like,
as in, definitely. If I own Teddy, that's exactly what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Turbo is the best captain this week. But because he plays in the first game and Teddy plays in the second last game, Teddy is the best captain this week because of the fixture. So, like, just if all the games were on at the same time, you would captain Teddy, Turbo, I mean. But because he's first and Teddy's seventh, Teddy is a better captaincy option, in my opinion, this week because you can use the VC elsewhere.
Yeah. I think I've landed on that too, but
I don't mind that Garrick is on the side. Garrick is on the side that where they're going to attack, where teams have been attacking the Tigers on that.
Yeah,
on that left edge as well. So, could go nuts.
Did Jason Saab went all right on the weekend, didn't he? He's always a okay pod this time of year.
He did go all right. Yes.
Yeah. Only for this game coming up.
Pod flyer.
But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All right, that'll see us out tonight, boys. Good job. Just under an hour. Best of luck for your final trades, both of you, this week. Dan, if you play it or you don't, tubes, go Ponga. I'll be cheering along with you. Dan, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Matty. Cheers.
Good work. And tubes, enjoy your week and enjoy your last trade.
You beauty.